Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
And tonight we have our 60-minute episode, which is powered by Prejean's restaurant across the street because they feed us every Tuesday.
Yeah, pretty good, too.
Is your mic on? Or are you just not bothering?
With the Five Guys onion rings?
I can hear you.
Yeah, but we can't hear you if we're talking to the mic.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, yeah, but you opening the show. Open the show, man.
Show's open. Why don't you add something to it? Never mind. This is actually...
Right off the bat, you're going to be an ass right off the bat.
This is Four Guys.
Unbelievable,
We don't use that kind of language on this program.
I'm sorry. He's going to be a jerk right off the bat.
That's good.
Fine. Okay, I can't use Charles Barkley.
There goes language. Another 2 minutes of the show.
Well, no, you start a show off like that, man. I mean, cat's sick, man.
Did you play well with others when you were young?
Huh?
Did you play well with others when you were
young? Like Val Kilmer said when they asked him, why'd you do that? You know, with Wyatt Earp, when he said, because he's my friend, and they said, the guy says, hell, I got plenty of friends.
I don't.
And Val Kilmer says,
I don't.
That's one of the best movie lines ever. No,
yeah,
I don't.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I don't. I didn't. That answer your question? And then I meet up with somebody like Don Allen, and it just, makes it worse. I need a psychiatrist, I guess. So. Anyway,
pound your wrists some more.
Hear Rush Limbaugh hitting on his mic or his desk and stuff.
I never hear Rush Limbaugh.
Well, that's true. You liberal, whatever. Yeah. If you hadn't turned in our show, that's a Joy Behard of our show right there, Don Allen.
Who?
Joy Behard. You wouldn't even know who that is.
I have no idea.
Of people out there do.
You're still pounding your hands.
I haven't pounded a thing. My hands are up in the air.
How many times? Did you count them?
36.
And that's in the first 60 seconds. Here's what we got for you tonight. We're Four Guys, Stories and Lies, because, we can be five. We can count Clint. The mind behind.
CD, man.
The man behind the curtain.
Also known as CD. Right? Okay.
Clint's taking Bobby Ardwine's place tonight. Bobby, of course, is... What do you mean, yeah?
Well, considering...
If you're going to be part of this, we need a little bit more than yell.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. I'll jump in and be Bobby for a little while.
All right. Make sure you give the Goodwill commercial somewhere at the end of the show.
Yeah, well, the clothes I wore today definitely weren't from Goodwill, so yeah. I don't have the Bubba jeans.
I can tell.
I don't have the Bubba jeans today.
Okay. No, he had them last week.
Bobby is at his monthly bloodletting. Yes, the St. Landry Parish Council today, I think, isn't he?
No, he has two. At least two of them today that he
school
has
board?
To try to run. Yeah, between
council too.
He's going to clone himself. Yeah. School board and council.
I tell you what, when that poor guy passes, man, there's not going to be any Daily World. They're not going to have anybody cover all that stuff.
Now we get to tell Bobby that in the first 5 minutes, Glenn had Bobby dying.
Bobby knows better,
than to die.
No, he knows when you say something and I say something, he knows who's got his back. And it's not you.
I've got everybody's back.
Oh, yeah, you got it. You stab me in it all the time.
Well, it's just
I know,
there.
It's easy. Yeah, take another night.
Mr. Quibido, who has been complaining since the start of the show, is, I can now attest to this, an excellent cook.
Oh, I get a compliment?
No, not if you keep this up.
Okay.
He graced me last week, or after lunch, I guess it was, with some red beans, some soup, and some gumbo. Have not touched the gumbo yet. Devoured the red beans. Outstanding. Has he blessed either one of you with that?
Not the red beans.
Yeah. Now, he took care of me with some really great soup back when I was having dental work done.
Is that the veggie soup?
It was tough to chew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very good. He did a great job.
If we have the
Sports Writers.
Sports Hall of Fame committee meeting in Crowley, he cooks for us, and it's outstanding.
That's what I spent all day doing today. I cooked tomato basil soup. Ooh. I cooked some Chinese string beans. I cooked some spaghetti. I always liked the taste of spaghetti. I don't know if y'all ever ate it at Alizzi's. I could never they would never give me the recipe, so it's taken me a number of years, but I got it figured out. So I cooked a bunch of that. So that's, I've been in my kitchen. I got in my kitchen an hour ago. So that's what I do for a hobby, is cook. Okay. But those red beans, you can thank Rabideau Sausage for that, because that's where that taste comes from. They in Iowa, God, they got some good sausage.
That sausage was excellent.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, Bruce will tell you that the sports writers that come in from all around the state, they rave about that stuff. I mean, it gives it such a good taste for a gumbo or red beans or something like that. It's really good.
The show will have nothing to do with sports tonight. Let me just get that out there
now. We'll be on food. This is a food channel tonight, you know?
We could do that.
Yeah, well.
You know, you cook it. Tom and I eat it. And Bruce sits here and listens to it.
No, that's just a hobby. When I like something, I've been blessed with it. I can kind of tell what, you know, when I go to a restaurant, what they put in it. And if I can't figure it out,
with
I
all
ask
those,
them.
With all those knives I've put in your back, how can you find time and find space to pat yourself on it so much?
It's hard because there's not much space left because, like I said, you know, you said it. I mean, I get a knife every 3 seconds.
You know, people that come into this area from out of state, out of country or whatever, and, you know, that will call on our office. And when we try to explain.
Tell them who our office is.
Well, it's food distributors, Church Point Wholesale.
There
okay.
you go.
When I try to explain to them how different this area is from all the other areas of the United States, because when you were talking about the sausage, Rabideau sausage, yeah. everybody makes their own sausage yeah. in their own boudin. And you can go just about anywhere and find something you like.
Exactly.
You know, it's really a unique, you know, I mean, I've got family in North Mississippi, and you don't see that in that area. You know, I mean, it's just what you get at the store is what you get, you know. It's just a grocery store or you know, full of groceries. But there's not a lot of homemade stuff in there, you know.
That's what attracts a lot of recruits here when they come on a recruiting mm-hmm. visit. They take them.
That depends where they're in. Baton Rouge, about $300,000. Is usually the number.
And that's how we transition.
That attracts.
That's how we transition to the sports bribery trial in New York, right?
Or $10,000 a month.
Or ten grand a month.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That
Which
came
was
out today.
Apparently the case in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
buddy.
Sean Miller.
Yep.
The hits just keep on coming.
Yep.
In
yep.
that thing.
The government rested its case today, so Dawkins went on the stand today. So that should end pretty soon. But, hey, the government ended its case. They didn't bring up Will Wade again today, so that's good.
No, he was brought up once at $300,000. That's probably enough. You know, and Dawkins, Christian Dawkins, is that his name?
I think so,
yeah.
He has redefined throwing someone under the bus. You need a big bus.
A fleet. Throwing him under the fleet.
Dawkins. Oh, he's looking at 100 years in prison, so he's trying to reduce that sentence a little bit, you know. Trying to get out, but you know, I see you looking. I don't have really much to add to that. I mean, you know, I think I spoke my piece that he should have been fired when he refused to meet
all,
with the.
We all,
you know,
said
and
that.
It's not. It's kind of like everything else. It's not over yet. You know, I mean, he may not have been called to testify in the trial, but you know, don't think that the NCAA is going away with that, or that the people that they play are going to let them go away with it.
Now, the caller that we had, what was it last week? Who and said, if you're not cheating, you ain't trying.
But you know what's amazing about that? Since this $300,000 thing came up, I've talked to three or four people. And granted, all of them were LSU fans. But I'll be damned, they all said the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to cheat. You can't win if you don't do that. And they're basically defending him.
And that in
every one of them is
right.
defending him because everybody else is doing it. And if you don't do it, you can't compete.
But well, the difference is the 98% that don't get in trouble are smart enough not to get caught.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, there's no doubt about that. But they're right in the fact that it's happening every day, especially in basketball. It's happening every day. And yeah, even though, you know, the head coach can – was it called plausible deniability, Bruce? That's what presidents use.
Yeah.
I didn't know. No, Bruce knows all the, you know, the real
terms,
intelligence stuff. I think that's he has the highest IQ in this room. No offense, Don, because I know you took it.
What's
no,
you
I
doing
got the lowest.
Show?
Well, he's trying to figure it out every week. You don't see him shaking his head when we say stuff.
Bruce is who we go to get the answers on everything.
When Tom and I speak, Bruce, I always watch Bruce, and Bruce shakes his head like, "What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong with this crowd, man. Lord have mercy."
You're accurate about that.
Huh? Oh, it's no doubt.
You're accurate about that.
Right, Bruce?
Yeah, and he's saying, "I can't believe he said that," you know.
Hey, I say it like it is. You don't like it? Well, tough luck. But, no, but, you know, that's what saves the big colleges. It's just this guy's too young and too arrogant, I guess, to where
no.
He didn't think anybody was going to.
You think?
You know, everything you read, the word arrogance comes up a lot when you mention his name. I don't know if y'all have noticed
his middle name.
Yeah, you know, I've read some stuff by some columnists and stuff, and that word is associated with that guy a lot.
Are we too hard on him and LSU?
I don't think it's even a question about LSU at this point. It's a question about what he did and what he's involved in.
Can I say this real quick, and then y'all can have the floor? We're no harder on him than LSU fans were on Beryl Shipley.
See, I remember the era. I remember it happening.
I remember
but
it's still happening.
I don't remember the LSU fans. I know there was a tremendous amount of criticism, especially from the media, from the northern schools.
Yeah, right.
Like Louisiana Tech and, yeah. North, and Northwestern.
Because at that time, LSU didn't really have a lot to talk about in basketball.
No.
Really weren't that competitive.
No, but I'm talking about, you know, Bruce is sitting here, and Bruce was sitting in those rooms with me. Trying to get Burl in the Hall of Fame, and we've talked about that a number of times. Let me tell you something. The LSU backers were the hardest ones on Shipley, some of the hardest ones on Shipley. They were tough on him. And granted, the two North Louisiana schools y'all talking about, what a worse, them and their sports writers and stuff like that. Those were the hardest guys to convince that, you know, he wasn't the evil person y'all think he was.
As far as being too hard on LSU, I might buy that if they hadn't known ahead of time that this guy was a bad character.
Yeah.
And you went ahead and got him anyway. I mean, that's indefensible.
And I think that was Glenn Gilbo's point in his article after the first thing came out. Glenn pointed that out. Man, he caught holy hell on social media.
Is that... Do we trace this mistake back to Joe Oliva?
Yeah, you have
to. Is he the one that goes under the bus here?
Yeah, he's the one that made the hire.
Yep.
One of the reasons he's gone.
Yeah, and I think, like I was trying to explain earlier, you know, yeah, okay, LSU, he's LSU's coach, but when I think about talking about the story, like I said, it's more about what he's doing now to college basketball and to just the atmosphere of everything around it, which is wrong. You know, I don't care how many people call in and say you have to cheat to win. No, you don't have to cheat to win, you know, but maybe you have to cheat to be the national champion. But
no, but you can see their logic.
I can see their logic but I don't want to make it an LSU. I don't want to make it an LSU thing. I want to make it, it's unfortunate that he's at LSU because what he's doing is just totally uncalled for. And the fact that he's still there, to me, is uncalled for by the administration.
Yeah, you know, you can scratch the favorite in the Kentucky Derby, but you can't scratch the head basketball coach.
Yeah.
I think you can scratch him a lot easier.
But the thing about it is, and again, not defending him or what's happened, but, you know, that list of names that came out, it wasn't just Will Wade, you know. It was Miller in Arizona. It was a lot of people came out on there, some potential
Izzo at Michigan State, Patinos.
There's a lot of them, and just this trial is just pull the curtain back from the dirty business that college basketball has become. And, you know, again, what the G League deal is coming in 2022, I think, where all those high school guys can sign. They don't have to go do a one and done. They can go to G League right out of high school. But that's not for a couple more years. But, you know, I don't know how they're going to address it. I don't know if the NCAA is going to address it because, again, if you pull back that curtain too far, you may destroy your sport because they got that many people, according to that list, that they'd have to investigate if they go by what was said in that trial.
So many people, and you tend to forget because of the manner in which it happens, but the NCAA that we're always referring to is made up of the very universities they're investigating, is made up of the very people who are doing the investigating.
Yeah.
You know, the NCAA is, as it said, National Collegiate Athletic Association. Mm-hmm. They're all the college people.
So it's compromised by its nature.
Yes.
You know.
In the case of Wade, though, I think his personality has a lot to do with the flack that he's catching.
Yeah, he's a punk.
Always has been.
You know, just like the way he acted with Marlon. I mean, you just don't do that. You know, because Marlon could easily come back today and say, hey, sit down and watch ESPN's coverage of this trial. I'm going to let you sit a little while more longer so you can enjoy it.
You know, back in the days of Beryl,
Marlon wouldn't do that.
I think that, you know, the race issue had a lot to do, too, you know, with the fact that UL being one of the first schools in the South to integrate
it had
basketball.
90%.
And that had a lot of people, particularly North Louisiana, mad against them.
You're back to the Shipley era now.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
Everything in all those charges doesn't amount a hill of beans to a supposed $300,000 deal.
No.
Right, Don?
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. You hear the music in the background. That means it's time for a commercial break. You know, I never did get finished introducing everybody.
We're here.
Not a big deal.
You never do early.
706-0111. That's your phone number at the studios. Happy to hear from you. Clint's going to play some commercials, and we'll be back after this.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game. You can't.
Let me tell you, it's easy to hide lying eyes on the radio.
Very much so.
It is easy to do that. We do that all the time. 706-0111, that's your number at the studios, as Five Guys Stories and Lies continues. We're worth an hour tonight because the Astros are worth more to the station, and we're going to cut to them around 7 o'clock. Tom Brown, Bruce Brown, Glenn Quibido, and I'm Don Allen. Bobby Ardwan could not be with us tonight. You know, we were talking, actually, Glenn was talking about the humorous conflict between Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. What was it on TNT?
TNT. Game show, yeah.
And it got me to thinking, you know, we haven't talked about, and we probably won't spend a whole hell of a lot of time on it, but Booger McFarland will be in the booth for the entire Monday night football season. Whoopee.
Well, I guess it's safer than him being on the sidelines of that contraption he was on.
Oh, he's going to be in the booth now?
Yes.
Oh, well, there's no need in watching now.
Two-man crew, now that Witten has gone back to be a Dallas Cowboy again.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah, apparently so.
He unretired.
Well, I can't see Booger McFarland as a color commentator in the booth.
I can't. No.
I was reading one of the analysis online about the draft and how it was covered and this kind of stuff. And somebody actually said Booger did a good job. I don't listen to that much draft coverage. I keep up with when the picks come in. But it's hard to imagine that he actually
I don't know whether it was his first-year jitters last year, but he was difficult to understand sometimes.
He gets too excited.
He would try to put too many words in too small a space.
And try to get cute too often.
Yeah, and that just doesn't work.
No.
Now, maybe it will be much, much better. Now that it's just a two-man crew, it's just he and Tessitore, the play-by-play guy in the booth. And they don't have to worry about that, and they can retire that stupid little thing they had down on the field that Booger was riding around on.
Well, it's Hollywood stuff, man. It's
three people in a booth is a lot.
It's too many. It's one too many.
Yeah.
The only time it ever worked, ever.
Danny Don, Howard, and Frank Gifford.
Yes.
He's just saying we're number one.
That was the best ever.
Yeah. Yes, it was, because Gifford knew his spot. His spot was to cover the game, play-by-play.
Mm-hmm. Straight.
He didn't, the straight man.
Straight man.
Then you had Cosell and Dandy, Meredith.
The circus.
You never could tell which one was the straight man and who was playing off the other. I think they played off each other so wonderfully. You know, here's Cosell, who was a lawyer and undoubtedly one of the smartest men in the history of the world, and he would let you know that.
He wasn't shy about that.
He was pretty darn smart.
Oh, yes. And then there was Meredith. who was the, I don't know, how would you describe?
A Texas cowboy that just was waiting to sing, good turn
old,
out the lights.
Good old boy. Yeah, it was just
Jeff
a good
and
old
Hazel's boy,
boy
from Mount Vernon.
Turn out the lights. Bud.
Pretty good pro quarterback, you know.
They could handle three in the booth then. Mm-hmm. That has not happened since.
It's not been good since.
But looking back at some of those games and the calls with Cosell, it just brings back, you know, some really, really fond memories, you know. And he was a character, man, you know.
Did you ever read his book?
Yes.
That was an excellent book.
Yes.
That was one intelligent man. I mean, woof. It's amazing that he got in the sports. I mean, is intelligent. He was an attorney, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. New York-based attorney.
No, he was a lawyer.
There's a difference?
Yeah. When you say someone is an attorney.
I thought a lawyer was what I see on them billboards.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. No, he didn't chase. He didn't chase offshore workers and stuff like that, did he? And ambulances? No, he was in a...
offshore workers in New York City.
No, but I mean, you know, he didn't... He wasn't chasing people to the hospital for lawsuits. This cat was more like in the business law and stuff like that. Or constitutional law, probably, knowing him. But it was a joy to watch.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
The three of them. I mean, everybody... tuned into those guys. Talk about that.
And he could get in trouble too, boy.
You would tune into them.
Look at that little run.
He did that too.
He
yes.
got in trouble. You know what's ironic that we're talking about that. You know, we're saying everybody would watch that, and then you know because the big things back there were Monday Night Football and All in the Family, and All in the Family having a comeback this Saturday with Woody Harrelson as Archie.
Big mistake.
Oh, my goodness.
That ought to be interesting.
It could be, and I like Harrelson.
I do, too.
You will never replace an original.
Well, you can never recreate the time in which it was held. You know,
no,
that's the difference.
That was classic.
You know, the country at the time that Norman Lear came up with those.
It's just like I heard someone asking Julia Louis-Dreyfus the other night about would you consider doing a Seinfeld reboot, you know, and she said, I think we need to just leave it alone, okay, because what it was what it was, and, you know, it'll never be like that again.
You leave All in the Family alone. You leave Seinfeld alone.
you leave all the classics.
You leave MASH alone.
And they're doing the Jeffersons, too, aren't they? Doing All in the Family and the Jeffersons?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Because the Jeffersons was his neighbor.
But think about that. The shows and records and music, when they try to come back. You know who I hated? I hated, what's his name, Bolton? When he tried to
Michael Bolton?
Michael Bolton, when he tried to sing
When a Man Loves a Woman?
When a Man Loves a Woman. I thought he crucified that song. No, there was only one person to sing that song,
and that was
Percy Sledge, and nobody could sing it like Percy.
That's all right. Our man behind the curtain will have Percy Sledge for us when we come back. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Break time back after this.
At 9-2. NHL, the Islanders just scoring right now. 11:40 to go in the...
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
John Bolton can't touch that with a stick.
Well, no one can. You don't mess with that one.
Well, he tried to.
I have a little tear in my eye now.
I remember going to dance halls where the band would play this. Every band knew this.
Oh, yeah.
Every band knew this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The slow song and the dance floor, which had four people on it, all of a sudden
yep.
Yeah,
that, that's what we were waiting for him to play at prom, man, so you could get some
what was
snuggle
the, okay,
time.
Okay, so he had that one. What was the other one? When a Man Loves a Woman. And what was the other one? It was kind of like it. God. Can you find that? His two greatest hits? Because that would...
His two great... Yeah, it'll be listed in that under Wikipedia.
Well, no, but just...
Yeah, that'll really narrow that down.
Yeah.
Look under Norman Greenbaum, and he'll be right under that with two hits.
Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah, Norman Greenbaum, one hit wonder.
God, I'll think of it before long, but that was a great song, too.
We were talking... Well, I was trying, because none of the other guys have seen the 2019 Hall of Fame, Music Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, which... aired on HBO. This happened a couple of months ago, but HBO finally put it on. and I had a chance to watch it simply because they had one particular group that I've always been big on the Zombies. I thought they had the most unique sound.
Yep.
Back in the 60s.
That's it. She's not what there. Is it?
Take Time to Know
Take
Her.
Take Time to Know Her.
And
yeah.
Thankfully, the Google machine said this was his second biggest hit.
All right. Hey, I rest my case, see?
Good job, Quip.
Hey. I know it was.
Peaked at number 11 in the U.S.
Y'all don't remember this song?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That was another one.
Kind of, yeah.
Take time to know her.
I don't remember it quite like that, but yes.
Well, you know, if everybody would listen to that song, we wouldn't have so many divorces.
Yes, we would.
Just saying. Yeah, listen to your mama, man. She tell you don't dig
got that.
Who had the song? D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Oh, that was
the Tammy Wynette.
Guys.
Tammy Wynette? Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That and I Don't Want to Play House. That was another one. I don't want to play house.
All right, what are we talking about next? Kentucky Derby or LSU recruiting? He just shut it down, bro.
Good job, Tom.
There you go. You just messed up, Percy Sledge. Thank you, Percy Sledge.
Anyway.
What?
To finish on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
If you get the opportunity to watch it, I think you'll probably enjoy it.
Who the ones that said, saying, tell it no? Tell me, wait.
Tell her no. No,
tell her no.
No.
They the ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not there. Time of the Season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great song.
That was their big three. Yeah, it was. Rod Argent was their keyboardist. In fact, still is. You know, they had, all the group that was still alive playing at the Hall of Fame. In fact, when you get inducted into the Hall of Fame, you will sing live. There will be no tape.
Yeah. Well, I remember when the Temptations went in.
And gosh, they sound just like they always did.
And I love the jam at the end of it when everybody just starts wailing on guitar. And just the talent involved in those final
the final
numbers.
Song?
Yeah.
They did Mott the Hoople's All the Young Dudes.
Oh, yeah.
That was the grand finale.
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody sung in that, yeah.
But that's the thing about musicians. It, their voices never change.
Never seem to.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys out there in their 70s.
You could listen to Procol Harum do White as
Snow. Oh, yeah, I was getting ready to bring that up. That's one of my favorite songs from those days.
I got that on my favorites.
They had
man.
The guy Jeez. Sitting in front of a piano. He's like 70 something now.
Yeah.
And he started singing it like a cappella, just him.
Oh,
it sounded just like the album.
If you never heard that song. White as Sheet of Pale.
It's a good song.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's a weird song.
Yeah, it's a very weird song. There's some versions of it out there that have the words to it.
Yeah.
When you play it, it has the words, and you read those words, and you go like, just like Hotel California. Dude, them cats had to be really high to write those verses. The Hotel California?
I love them.
Well, I do too, but I mean, some of it sounds kind of satanic, don't you think?
No, and that's
no.
No,
it's the Eagles.
It's the Eagles. I mean, it's a...
stabbed a steely beast with knife and all that kind of stuff. That sounds pretty...
That line came from Steely Dan.
Stab it with their steely knives.
They
just
having
can't
a dinner.
Kill a beast.
Yeah.
And they...
And what?
There was something I read about that line from Hotel California. It's about something that happened to Steely Dan. They were poking fun at Steely Dan.
I always wondered for Hotel California, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. What came first, the lyrics or the actual music?
I don't know, but Taking It Easy is my all-time favorite for them.
No, there ain't no way you're the top Hotel California, dude.
We need to do a show on music. Yeah, we don't know jack about sports, but we can talk about music.
No, Hotel California, and especially the end, you can't beat that with a stick.
Nope.
Well, that's your opinion.
Don's too.
19. Well, good.
So we out. We out.
That's a
you.
First.
We out.
That's a
oh,
first.
Oh wow! Did I just say that?
You just agreed.
I
with
just
Don.
Agreed, Don Allen.
Kentucky Derby.
Oh, geez.
They're going to run it Saturday.
Scary.
And for those of you that pay even somewhat attention to it,
it's horses, huh?
It's horses. Like I told Bruce, Bruce should get into this because. It's just a track meet with horses.
Wait, y'all That's remember right. that line?
Four legs instead of two.
Y'all, you just reminded me. What was his name? Was it Pat Flanagan or whatever? Went out to that. I told y'all that story about when he went to the job
Flanagan
site.
Flanagan used to be Channel 3.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, he was behind me at 10.
I think it was him.
He was 10? Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he went out to a job site before the Kentucky Derby. Well, he went to a couple people, and he was asking who you think is going to win a Kentucky Derby. And he went, he was at a job site.
Oh, he was standing outside of a portalette.
And a guy opens the door to get out the portalette and sees a television camera in his face, and he just stunned. And he asked him, you know, well, we're just here to see who you think is going to win the Kentucky Derby. And the guy looked at him and said, I don't know, who be playing?
Flanagan was off this charts, man.
That was one of the funniest things I ever saw, man. The guy didn't have a clue, and the guy just, I mean, he blindsided the poor guy.
Yeah, he was the first guy that I can remember in the market here that was here because of the silliness, let's put on a show, kind of like some of the folks we've seen recently.
Yeah.
You know, like
I was just thinking to myself, I'd love to watch Flanagan again now today.
Oh,
compared to what we've got out there to
definitely,
watch.
Definitely. But he was that off the wall guy that was going to go out and do crazy stuff. You know, kind of like Boom Sauce, you know, was.
Now it seems you've got newscasters and sportscasters and weather guys who seem to think, oh, we need to talk like a rock jock the whole time and talk about, looks like it may rain this Saturday.
Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
No, I mean, those times were different. I mean, because we had some characters back then. It wasn't just
him. Ooh, man.
You know, and J.C. Poliz, that's way back. I mean, he was something else on air, J.C. too.
But I got stories, I'm telling you, but they can't be talked about on air.
Well, we all got that. I mean, yeah, you tape in between commercials, you'll get a lot. So anyway, who's the favorite
Derby.
Now?
Well, the favorite was Omaha Beach.
Go on.
Omaha Beach has been scratched. Scratched this afternoon. It was only at morning line 4-1. And I'm thinking to myself, I hung around the racetrack enough when I was doing the announcing in Evangeline Downs to know that if you've got a 4-1 favorite, you don't have a favorite. You're really not sure.
Yeah, because it'd be like 5-2 or something like that.
5-2, 2-1.
2-1.
You know, we've seen that quite often in the past.
Yeah.
But now, and I even made some phone calls because I'll be the first to admit it. I don't know jack about this year's field at all. I haven't paid any attention to it. I made some phone calls to a couple of guys who I know who do know what's going on. One lives in Houston. One lives here in town. Another guy in Houston, but it was too late to get a hold of him.
That's all your bookies?
No.
Oh.
No. No. They're the guys that, to be honest with you, when they're on, bookies run from them.
Why? They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know what they're doing in handicapping a race.
Well, so, you wanted us to pick winners. Now, you cheated, man. You went and talked to handicappers.
No, it's called research, Tom.
what he's saying is something you don't do, Tom. We shoot from the hip.
And
here's
the deal. Both of them agree there are probably 10 to 15 horses out of this 20-horse field
that can win this thing.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So it's literally flip a coin. And my thought was somebody out there who happens across three lucky numbers is going to make a fortune on, for example, the trifecta.
Oh, yeah.
A fortune.
Clean up.
How much would it cost to box 20 horses?
Box 20. I don't.
Yeah, you know, where you use all of the possibilities to get 1, 2, 3.
I don't know, but at tracks now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'll look it up, but you can make as bets of as little as 50 cents now.
That I was unaware of.
Yeah, I'll find it for you and I'll give it to you because I see that every once in a while. They went to exotic wagering to get more people involved.
Yes.
And I think they got down to like a 50-cent pick six.
I don't doubt it. They knocked it down back when I was involved with it, and that was 16 years ago. They had, you know, you could do it for a dollar. You could box for a buck.
Yeah.
Now, it cost you like, I don't know, $6 on an exacta box.
Yeah.
But I thought it had gone up years ago to like it went from $2 to $3 for just a straight bet. It didn't do that?
They did it for a while. Didn't work.
Didn't work?
No, did not work.
Okay, here you go. Does it give the amount? Because I know I'd seen somewhere where it was like you could actually buy a 50 cent or a dollar ticket.
I'm sure you probably can. You know, and I haven't invested, although I've got friends that do have invested in online betting. mm-hmm. which you can do also. I haven't done it.
You want us to go to a commercial while you look it up?
No. Well, when Don and I were covering horse racing, it used to be where you had a straight bet, and like you said, you know, you had basically an
exacta.
Yeah,
the exacta. You had a
and
trifecta.
Might have a trifecta.
And then you got to the superfecta.
Yep. You got the superfecta. Now they got the this is what they have.
Pick a daily double.
They got a daily double on darn near every race.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got a daily double, an exacta, a superfecta, a trifecta, a pick three, a pick four, a pick five, and is that a pick six? I mean,
pick 20.
You got six different ways to buy a ticket in horse racing.
No, you have six different
ways
to lose.
Give them your money. Yeah. That is exactly. You're right, Tom. You're right, Tom. All right, so let's get to it here. What time is it anyway?
We got about 15 minutes. 10, yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a commercial break. I'm sorry, Clint.
Oh, he's in there breaking his hands?
No, he better be in there looking for a zombie song to play in a minute. 706-0111. That is your Ardco Equipment Hotline. It's Don, Glenn, Bruce, and Tom. And, of course, Clint behind the curtain. And we're on Five Guys Stories.
Where's Ralph? Is it Ralph that normally calls? Where's Ralph?
We haven't heard from Ralph in a while. But you'll hear from us more when we come back after this.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah.
It's the time of the season.
Thank you, Glenn. Made my night. The Zombies had been together for a year and a half and had recorded this song a year and a half earlier before the record company released it.
Really? Why they didn't like it?
I don't know what they didn't like. I don't know what they did. The Ooh. First thing they came up with was She's Not There,
yeah.
Then Tell Her No, and this one a year and a half later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody's asleep at the switch.
Well, yeah. But if you've watched Bohemian Rhapsody, you saw one producer cut Queen loose because he thought the song Bohemian Rhapsody was too long. Hmm. Well, that was one of the funny lines in the music. And one of the,
that's like cutting Led Zeppelin loose for Stairway to Heaven.
One of the members said, "Well, I feel sorry for your wife if you think 6 minutes is too long." was one of the better lines in the show.
That was such a good movie, not going to lie. Mind you, a lot of the historical facts got lost in translation, but still a really good film.
Yeah, it was there for entertainment, and it was entertaining. All right, we've tried to get to the Kentucky Derby picks for about 40 minutes now, so it's time. All you guys have a list of the 19 horses that are now entered in the Derby. Bot Express is listed as also entered. I don't know if it got in or not because of the scratch to Omaha Beach, but that was your 4-1 early morning line favorite. And what's left are 19 horses and some post positions that are better than others. One of the guys I talked to said the forecast said for Churchill Downs is it might rain all day Saturday. If that's the case, that certainly changes your mind about a lot of things and also changes your mind about anything that's breaking from the rail. Because if it's sloppy, you better get off the rail.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, Tom, who's your pick?
Well, I had narrowed it down to two. Okay? I was going to go with win, 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 because that is the story of my life every day. Just win, win, win.
Oh, my God.
But since it's breaking from the 14th position, I figured, that's going to be kind of tough.
That's not bad. That's actually not bad.
It's not as good as my second choice, which I'm gonna go with him, which is Improbable, because it's very improbable that I am picking a winner in the Kentucky Derby.
Actually, that was one of the guys that I talked to.
Choice.
That was his pick.
Really?
Yeah, he says Improbable is probably third best among the three Bob Baffert entries. But he liked Improbable.
Yeah.
Because Baffert has said that Improbable seems to like the racetrack a lot.
Well, and he's breaking from the five spots, so he's not going to be right on the rail, but he'll be closer to the rail to not have to run so far to get in position.
Bruce?
So.
Well, I'm looking at one of the 30-1 odds.
That's all right. Believe me, in this race, that's all right.
I want to see a long shot just for the heck of it. And I thought, in honor of our group and the fact that we're in South Louisiana, I'm going to go with Cutting Humor. I think that fits us pretty well.
Of course, Cutting Humor
on it.
Yeah, the 10 hole.
Yeah.
And Tram by Todd Fletcher. All right.
It would have been better named if it was Sick Humor, but.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, Corey from Louisiana, or he's ridden here anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to find a Louisiana connection in the riders this year, and usually they're just.
Usually we got three or four.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. We don't have any bush tracks left, that's why.
Yeah.
We have no training grounds for them.
May have something to do with it. Got a choice?
It has a lot to do with it. I'm going with Improbable.
You too?
Yeah, well,
copycat.
Not because of you, my man. Not close. Because Omaha Beach held on to beat them by a length.
Everybody wants to get on board the win-win-win guy.
Will you shut up for a minute?
Well, you could have gone with Game Winner then.
He don't know what he's going with. Ain't got a clue that he's going you know.
You got two going with Improbable.
He's one of them guys that thinks when they break their maiden.
Bruce going with Cutting Humor.
Improbable lost by a length in Arkansas Derby in the slop. Beach. And if it's going to be slop, Omaha Beach could only beat him by a length. So I think in the slop, I think he's the best.
Roadster's going to be among the favorites. But the thing about Roadster is it's breaking from the 17 hole,
yeah.
A position that has never won in the Kentucky Derby.
Never.
Never a 17 hole. So with that in mind...
Glenn, you should have took that one.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Either.
So just ignore him.
I'm going to go with Tacitus. You know, I liked Improbable until both you guys went for it, just to have something different. I'm going to go with Tacitus. It's coming out of the 8-hole. Jose Ortiz is aboard, and it's 10-1 morning line.
Somebody told him something, Tom.
Yeah, we.
Somebody got a tip.
We pushed him out of him out of the winner's circle.
He's got a tip. So
he's going to be tearing his tickets up.
It's
going to
be a good
rail.
Race. What, about 5:45? I think it's 5:46.
5:36 or.
But you can start watching it probably about 9:00 Saturday morning because it's kind of like the LSU football pregame show.
5:50.
Well,
on NBC.
They'll show you the first umpteen races at Churchill Downs before they get. To the
and they'll show you the horses waking up and being fed. And
oh, it gets to be intolerable after a while. You know, you just can't wait for the post-parade to get there.
How much pre-race buildup do you need? I mean, it's just...
Well, it's like, you never watched the Breeders' Cup because the Breeders' Cup is a long thing, too.
Got to sell those commercial breaks, man.
And, somebody's got to pay for it.
It's like the NFL draft.
But, you know, that's the biggest knock on horses.
You don't need 15 minutes between first-round picks.
That's the biggest.
You know who you're picking.
That's the biggest knock on horse racing. There's too much time between races.
Mm-hmm.
But you got.
That's always been the case.
It's always
been
the case. If they could speed that up, because you remember when we were growing up, they had a deal on TV. And they crammed about 8 races in half an hour. And I think it was a national food store. You could win. Yeah, I mean, you had like a game, and you'd watch these horse races. There was no break in between them. They would have the horse race, maybe a commercial, not a horse race.
No, you're right. And if you get to certain tracks, and Angela Downs was among the worst.
Oh, absolutely.
Post time, you know, I'm up there announcing, you know, post time in 12 minutes. Bull.
Because they'd hold them. They'd parade the horses to let everybody get to
post
the windows.
Post time would be closer to 20 minutes than 12.
Well, they find out how many people went to windows, and they were going to let all those people get their money in.
He's absolutely correct.
So they would just parade the horses behind the gates until everybody got their money in. Then they went to the gates.
That did not happen at the major tracks.
No.
It did not happen. When they told you it was post time in 3 minutes, it was post time. They were loading them up in 3 minutes. Yeah.
But that was nothing like the old days going to Evangeline Downs. I mean,
we've got some stories that we can do on another time.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could bring your kids on the 4th of July.
Well, you mentioned national food stores. I'll give you some food for thought for a future store.
How much time do we have, Clint, before Tom? Got a minute, Tom.
Does anybody remember S&H green stamps?
Yeah, I still got some. I still got some.
You want value stamps?
That's a topic of discussion.
You want to buy some?
No.
I got about 12 books. Anybody
value.
Out there want to collect them? I got them.
S&H green stamps and True Value.
Man, I got my first fishing reel with that. Went cash it in. Got
Don,
it,
Don, we didn't even talk softball this week.
No,
aren't you happy?
We're going to talk it. No, I have no problem with it. We just didn't have time with all the incredible food stuff and music.
Who started that? Who started that?
Remember,
he's going to end the show just like he started.
As a great congressman once quoted, Who needs farms? The food stores are full of groceries.
Five Guys Stories and Lies.
One of Don's.
I don't know if we'll be back next week or not, Clint. Next week, maybe an off week. We're up? We're on. I don't
up, down.
We'll figure it out later. Five Guys Stories and Lies for Tom, Bruce, Clint. I'm Don. We had fun, as always. Hopefully talk to you next week. Bye.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette, 1037 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Locally owned businesses build strong communities by sustaining vibrant town centers and contributing to local causes. Do your business with these certified South Louisiana businesses.
For over 25 25-